course, it's your role with the motif, directly and indirectly here. I suppose you could do with this transformation. I remember what this room looked like, or this floor looked like, and it's definitely changed from a disaster area into quite a flash facility. So, I hope that the deluded human beings of Christ Church will take advantage. And that they'll come forward for how to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Seeing Krishna through sound. We'll see how it goes. I was telling Boston Romani, you have to be patient. Sometimes, often things take a while to get going. I think your yoga classes took about a couple of years to really get going. Is that so? Yoga Maya, is that so? Yeah. We did a survey in Wellington for the Gore Yoga Center, and 80% of the people who are coming come by word of mouth. So, that's how things build up. Gradually, the word gets around that this is a cool spot. But you have to be patient. Don't be discouraged in the beginning. Now, please understand the spirit of these kind of endeavors. The spirit is one of outreach, compassion. It's an emotional and intellectual response to the suffering of today. To preach Krishna consciousness requires the head and the heart combined. And then, with the head and the heart, you meditate on the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, how to apply them so that people will be able to take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's what this endeavor is all about. Reaching out to others, giving them a comfortable chance to hear about Krishna. Our motto has always been, we make it easy. We make it easy to come to Krishna consciousness. We make it easy to grow in Krishna consciousness, and we make it easy for you to reach out to others and bring them to Krishna consciousness. We do not compromise our principles, but at the same time, we do not make life unnecessarily difficult and complex for people to approach bhakti yoga. In fact, we try to make the path as comfortable as possible. This room is definitely very comfortable. The lighting is very nice. Everything is very conducive. So, you certainly have a wonderful facility for carrying forth here. Now, what about the people you're trying to reach? As I told you in class this morning, I gave an assignment to Bhaktin Tara to do candid photos throughout Manchester in England. So you could actually see the illusion of material life. A picture is worth a thousand words. So rather than me talk about it, now I can just show it and you get the point. Now when you look at these pictures, I want you to not look at them in the mood of laughing. Ha ha ha, look at them. I want you to look at the pictures in the mood of, yeah, that was me. It was a completely different consciousness. I want you to see yourself that this is what I was doing, or this is what I would be doing if it wasn't for Lord Chaitanya reaching out. There'll be pictures of young people, there'll be pictures of old people. So if they're old people, I want you to see yourself as an old person. Particularly look at the faces and the eyes. There you can catch the illusion of the whole situation. Watch the faces and the eyes. Otherwise, you could be fooled by the glitz and glamour of material life. But pictures show the truth, especially these candid pictures. It'd be very educational, I felt, that you see what things look like from the camera's eye. All right. So can we turn the lights off, please? There you have it. They're having a good time. Yes? Some of you remember partying like this? Look at her face there. See the sure, she's enjoying. Everyone is feeling good. This is the kind of people that you're going to have to deal with. This is the kind of people you want to come to your meditation class. How to get them from that kind of thing to here? It seems impossible. But can we turn that light off back there, please? But by Lord Chaitanya's grace, it's possible because you're here. So many of you here were doing like this, yes? And now here you are. Okay, next. You have to look closely. This is, I guess, in the pub. There's the, you see the sign saying toilets up there, and a little rendezvous going on. Very auspicious place to have a loving exchange, you know? This is Kali Yuga. Yeah. It's talking important things, you know, the meaning of life. Of course, look at the glass in the hand there. That's always necessary. Next. Yeah. Looks familiar? Look at the expressions on the faces. She looks like she's very happy. She's getting attention. And of course, we don't have to talk about what he's thinking. And the obligatory bottle or glasses in the hand, you know, makes you feel secure. Next. Here we are again. Good times, the glasses. See the glasses? You have to have something in your hand. Cigarette, glasses, or something to feel part of the scene. Look at the looks on the faces. How long does this last? First of all, it's all artificially induced by the alcohol, by the drugs, by the atmosphere. But remember, these are the people you want to reach. Look at him. He looks pretty wasted, huh? He's got, what, two beers in his hand and a cigarette. All the senses are engaged. Next. This is really love and affection here. Look. Is this what you're missing? Yes, I'm sure some of you from Christchurch remember these kind of scenes, huh? What's the point of it all? Look at the complexions, very pallid, pale. That's how your bodily countenance or your effulgence looks because of so many sinful activities at a young age. You actually destroy your health, you destroy your mind. Is it really? Look, is this really affection? What do you think? Look at the face. Is that really what you want? Does he really look like he understands what he's doing? And does she care? Does she look like she cares that he doesn't understand what he's, you know, what anything's about? Next. These are photos that were taken. Tara has a very small camera, so the people don't know it. A typical scene in a flat where young people are living together. What is she doing there? Eating something? Yeah, and they're watching TV. This could be you. the mess all around here, and a bag there, and something on the couch there, and typical young people's flatting together. Next. Very important. Yeah. He's got the cigarette in his hand, he's feeling cool. There's very ghostly looks on the faces because of the intoxication. The hair is slicked very nicely, styled very nicely, but look at the faces. Oh, deathly pale. Will they find happiness? What do you think she's looking for? She wants fulfillment. Will she find? Next. This is a birthday party, Tara explained to me. They're celebrating at a pub, and this is the girl's father, is that it, Tara?
Somebody else's father.
Somebody else's father. So they're having a celebratory dance or something? Next. I don't know if you can see the guys in the back raving there. Okay. Is she the one having the birthday?
Yeah.
She's got her birthday fashions on. What's that, one of those things that bears your, is that bear skin down there? Yeah, it's the latest style, huh? They dress like this in Christchurch now, too? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is where you could be on a Friday and Saturday night. Next. He's feeling his bliss. Look at the look on the face, the beer glass in the hand. Once again, these are the persons we're trying to reach. This is what most of you were doing before. Next. Watching TV in a flat. Look at the facial expression there. Very telling when you look at the faces. Look at the eyes, just vacant. You can see what Srila Prabhupada meant when he said that you see living people, I see dead people. Look at that. The eyes just... The TV is doing all the thinking. They're just receiving it all. Typical young person's flat with stuff up, strange stuff on the walls. And next. More TV watching. Look at the mess all around. What's that, a bottle in their hand? It has to be there. Another bottle on the floor there? Next. Occasionally there are these flashes where you think, oh, I'm enjoying, it's so nice talking. Remember this? You get some flash of so-called happiness being together with others and just reminiscing and laughing and joking. Next. Alright, here's another party. There are the sacraments. What do? They mix this stuff and makes it red, or does it come out of the bottle like that? You mix it. I think Tara explained this is one of those parties you bring your own. Is that it, Tara?
Yeah.
And everyone brings a bottle and you put it there and everyone gets to share it. She's got her party clothes on, is that it? The contemporary bear belly button. Look at the faces. Do you call this pleasure? Look at his face. Willfully drinking poison, as Narottam Das Thakur said. Literally, this is what's going on. Manusha Janamapaya Radha Krishna Navajiya. Next. Chit-chatting in a pub, sharing life's experiences. Does it really make any difference in life? Does it improve things? Did it improve your life when you were doing like this? Actually, according to scientific research done in Sydney, Australia, there's something in a woman's brain that chemicals that are released that make them feel good when they talk to each other about their problems. It's something men can't understand, why women have to always talk about something amongst themselves. But according to the scientific research done in Sydney, the brain emits certain chemicals that make the lady feel better when she discusses her problems, especially with other ladies. Here's another party scene there. Of course, the glasses have to be in the hand. When we had our loft opening in Auckland, the devotees devised that everyone would have a glass of, what was it? All different kinds of non-alcoholic drinks that were prasad, but still I could see all the guests. We had about 70 guests. They all felt very secure just standing, talking, holding a glass in their hand. You know, this is part of the scene. This is the way to live. And naturally they began to loosen up and just act like they were in a comfortable place just by the fact they had a glass to hold in their hand. So you saw 70 people just each holding a glass in their hand, standing, talking, buzzing away. Next. More TV watching. Look at the eyes there. Who knows what she's eating there? Next. Oh, the perfection of life. Mama's little sugar loaf. It's Kali Yuga, so the women are giving the men shelter. Don't worry, it'll be all right. I'll take care of you. I'll work and support you. You just be around when I need you. Yeah, sure. Meanwhile, they're both watching television, as you can see. What television does, you can just see it, you know. Your intelligence just disappears. Look at him. His wimp. And look at her. She feels she's got it all. Yeah. He's where he should be. He's doing what I want. Next. Old age comes to everyone. Look at him. Look at her. There's no even illusory happiness anymore. It's just passing the last days. Look at her skin, wrinkled. It used to be very nice. Look at the rolls of fat there. That's what's coming. You don't believe it, huh? Unbelievable, huh? Yes, Gorarchi, it will happen. See yourself in this lady. You can see they're really thrilled to be together. What is he thinking? What happened to my life? Can't believe I spent 30 years with her. Next. I've also told her to take pictures on buses and trains, candid pictures. Next. Look at his face. All these old men just look like they're putting up with the situation. The wife is happily eating. It's like he's munching on a burger or something. And he's just, you know, just Next. There, true love. Does it look ecstatic? Look at her eyes. Nick? I don't know what he's thinking. I have no idea what he's thinking. Next. As a young kid, you have to be munching on something all the time. Is that the mother there, Tara?
Yeah.
With a cigarette in her hand?
No.
So, you're a mother in Maya. You have no idea what to tell your kid. The best thing you can do is buy your kid, what are these called? It's like French fries or something. That's the only thing you can give your kid. Can't give any knowledge. Just give him some junk food to munch on. Next. Coming home from a hard day of work. What is she thinking? What's the point of all this? I'm not happy. She also doesn't look very enlightened. Look at this one here. Next. What's this, metro? A train? Underground. In London? Everyone's got their shastras. This could be you. Look how enlivened their shastras make their faces. Next. Next. Is a typical young guy there. No idea what he's doing, where he's going. Could be any of you, young men, now brahmacharis. No one knows what's going on. Next. Look at her right here. Sad. Nothing's making her happy. Next. Next. Look at her face here. This is supposed to be retail therapy. That's like when you feel bad, you go buy something. But she doesn't look very happy at all. In fact, she's got a look of pain on her face. This is the reality of material existence. Next. Ah, he sees a good fish. We could be enlivened. Like that, look at that one. Next. Maybe some of you used to do this. is meat or fish here? Fish? Used to look at it all, pick out a good piece. Next. This is a checkout lady. Daughter? Poor lady. Look at all day long she has to do this job. For what purpose? Certainly, devotees, they work in order to support a Krishna conscious lifestyle. But just to work for living a miserable material life. Next. Look at her face. Is that her kid there, Tar? Look at her face and think how she's going to be able to raise that kid. Next. There, one of England's finest. Next. Let's see. Best this could be you in 30 years if it wasn't for the Hare Krishna mantra. Poor lady, going nowhere, very, very miserably. Always helps to have a dog, though. No? That makes everything better. Next. Poor lady. This is near the end here. You can sit on a bench and watch the pigeons. Just think, this could be you. Look at her. This could be you. Eating something, sitting on a bench. This is the result of a life without devotional service. Please think about that. Next. Another old man. Catch the glimpses on the face, they tell you their whole life story. Really terrified. Next. Next. Listening to some enlivening music. Next. Oh, she looks hurt. Some man really took her for a ride. Look at the pain in the face. This is the reality. Very deep pain. Nice jacket on, hair a little bit styled. What's that, lipstick and makeup on? Eyebrows done. But look at the face, index of the mind. Deep pain. She's grieving about something. Next. Reading the newspaper. You see what it does for you. Passes the time. Next. Look at her facial expression. You can see the aimlessness. Also in her. Cosmetics, hairstyles, eyelashes done. Lipstick, but emptiness. She's got such a... how do you describe that look? Things aren't right. She looks a bit hopeless, even at a... She's not that old, but she looks hopeless. This is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. Next. Knows it's going to be a short time before death comes. You see the fear on her face. Where is she going? She doesn't know. What will it be like after death? She didn't look like this always. She would have looked like one of you. Enjoying in her 20s. Now look. He looks more optimistic. He doesn't understand. Soon he'll be in her situation. Next. He's looking a bit thoughtful. The end of life. Your face becomes like a shriveled prune. That face you're so proud of. How many times did you look in the mirror to check your face if you look like this? Look at her also. This is life has passed you by. You're going to die and you don't know where you're going next. And no one can tell you and you don't care. You don't even... you say, what's the use? Young, but already sad. Look at that. How old does she look like? She's about 21? Sad. Where's that party ecstasy? It looks like she's got a look on her face like the umpteenth guy has used her. Next. Next. Oh, so sad. Alright, thank you, Bhakti and Tara. So this is what you're... You can turn it off. Yeah. This is what you're dealing with. That could have been any of you in these pictures. Because of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you have a chance to go from the worst situation to the best situation. So we want to give people this opportunity. We're prepared to work hard for this chance. Now, one thing we should remember is that people are very... You can see the... Remember the look on the faces there. Aimless. No hope. Sad. Even pain. Remember that young lady looking so deeply pained. It'll help people to be much more enlivened about coming to Krishna consciousness when you can show very nice camaraderie. People are looking for good association, good friends, good atmosphere. Otherwise, they have to artificially create it with their party life, as you saw in the beginning. Hold a glass in your hand and talk all sorts of crazy things and manufacture some happiness. It's up to the devotees to show the real happiness of Krishna consciousness. That's what actually impresses people. And then they feel inspired to read the books, to chant Hare Krishna, based on feelings, a good vibes from the devotees. So people are watching you all to see how you relate to each other. It's very important. They look and see, how do you behave toward each other? Can I plug in to this kind of scene because I want fulfillment? Therefore, it's very important that devotees have loving association based on spiritual standards so that people will want to become a part of your loving association. Actually, loving association of devotees is based on service, serving devotees. It is a very glorious opportunity to serve devotees. That's why the Lord says in the Adi Purana, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee, that is my devotee. A devotee is eager to serve other devotees. The paradox in Krishna consciousness is that no devotees want to be served. So you have to be clever. What does Narottam Das Thakur sing? Tandara charane sevi bhakti sanivas janame janame hoy e abhilas. I just want to serve the lotus feet of the devotees. Birth after birth, make that my pleasure. E abhilas. Janame janame hoy. Birth after birth. This is my aspiration, to serve devotees. A devotee is very eager and hungry. How can I serve other devotees? But the devotees are very eager that they avoid being served. So this way it creates a chance for creativity and imagination. The nectar is serving devotees, but no devotee wants another devotee to serve him or her. So therefore, there are so many arrangements in Krishna consciousness, how these transactions can go on. We can hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita about a very expert devotee who knew how to serve Vaishnavas so well that he attracted the special attention of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Kalidas. He was the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. He had a thing about getting the three most precious jewels in life. The dust from the lotus feet of devotees, the water that's washed the feet of the devotees, and the remnants of their food. He would just plot and scheme how to get these things. He was so expert that Lord Chaitanya gave himself to him. Now, we don't expect you all to go around, you know, trying to scrape the dust off the feet of other devotees. We don't expect that you, when they're taking prasad, that you, you know, you're sitting nearby and ready to, because, you know, scoop anything away you can. But there are other opportunities for serving devotees, and we just have to watch for that, knowing that Krishna is pleased. And it's kind of a sport, a Vaishnava sport, how you can sneak some service to a devotee without the devotee being able to object. This is one of the intrigues of Krishna consciousness. So let's get some inspiration from Kalidas. Although obviously we're not going to be able to imitate him. He was a Mahabhagwat. He's such an elevated devotee that he would throw dice and chant Hare Krishna. And the purport Prabhupada warns you, don't imitate this. But, you know, he's on such a high platform of love of God, he would roll. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's a real character. So let's hear about Kalidas. Along with the devotees from Bengal came a gentleman named Kalidas. He never uttered anything but the holy name of Krishna. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and liberal. Can we get some air in here? He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing his ordinary dealings. When he used to throw dice in jest, he would chant Hare Krishna while throwing the dice. So he, as I explained, he was the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. And his whole life, even in old age, he was always scheming to get the remnants of food left by Vaishnavas. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, Kalidas ate the remnants of food of as many Vaishnavas as there were in Bengal. This is his occupation, this is his career, his mission. He would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmana families, be they neophyte or advanced devotees, and present them with gifts of first-class eatables. He would beg remnants of food from such Vaishnavas, and if he didn't receive any, he would hide. After the Vaishnavas finished eating, they would throw away their leaf dishes. When you go to Mayapur, you'll see that the prasad is served on leaf dishes, and then after the meal is finished, the leaf dishes are thrown out. So Kalidas would hide, and when the Vaishnavas would finish eating and throw away their leaf dishes, Kalidas would come out of hiding, take the leaves, and as for devotees born in Sudra families, he would also do this. He would hide and eat the remnants of food they threw away, because at that time there was the caste system, and Kalidas was a Brahmana and he wasn't supposed to take the remnants of Sudras, but he didn't care. He knew a devotee is a devotee. So the example is given of a great Vaishnava named Jaju Thakur, who was not a Brahmana. So Kalidas had a plan. He presented mangoes to Jaju Thakur and then offered his humble obeisances. Then he also offered respectful obeisances to the Thakur's wife. When Kalidas went to Jaju Thakur, he saw Jaju Thakur sitting with his wife. As soon as Jaju Thakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his respectful obeisances unto him. This is Vaishnav culture. That's why we say, Vancha Kalpatruvyascha Kripasindhuvyascha Patitanam Bhavadeyo Vaishnavayamonoha. So, Kalidas discussed with Jaju Thakur for some time, and then Jaju Thakur said to him, I belong to a low caste. You are a very respectable guest. How shall I serve you? If you will permit me, I'll send some food to a Brahmana's house, and there you may take prasad. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably. That was the system, that if you're not a Brahmana, and a Brahmana comes to visit you, you send some bhoga to a Brahmana's house and tell your guest, you go there and take. So that's what Jaju Thakur was saying. What is Kalidas' reply? My dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you, although I am very fallen and sinful. Simply by seeing you, I have become purified. I am very much obligated to you, for now my life is successful. My dear sir, I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head so that the dust on your feet may touch it. But Jaju Thakur was a bit taken back. How can you ask this of me? I belong to a low-class family, whereas you are a respectable, rich gentleman. Then Kalidas hit him with some shastra. And Jaju Thakur was happy to hear shastra. Kalidas quoted verses saying that if someone is a Brahmana but not a devotee, he's useless. But if someone's born in a low-class family but is a devotee, then that is the perfection of life. So Kalidas quoted a whole string of verses like that. And Jadu Thakur replied, yes, this is true. This is the version of the Shastra. However, it's true for one who is generally advanced in devotion to Krishna. In other words, it's not true for me. This is Vaishnava humility. Now, okay, that's what the Shastra says. Yeah, that's me. No. Jadu Thakur said, it's true what the Shastra says. A low-class person who becomes a devotee is better than a Brahmana. But I'm not an advanced devotee. That Shastra is just referring to advanced devotees. That's how a devotee feels of himself or herself. Such a position may befit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower class and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna. This is bhakti. Even you can be such an advanced devotee, you think, I don't know anything about Krishna. I don't have a pinch of devotion to Krishna. I don't know who is Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, as I explained this morning, he demonstrated that. What? You're pointing to the tears in my eyes? You think I'm a great devotee? Let me tell you, it has to be all show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago out of separation. So Lord Chaitanya sets the standard. So Kalidas offered his obeisances and said, please allow me to go. And he left. Doesn't mean that Kalidas gave up. So the saint Jadu Thakur followed him as he left. That's the Vaishnava system of showing respect. You follow someone to the door and even part of the way out to show that you appreciate that person. So Jadu Thakur bid farewell to Kalidas and then returned to his home. But Kalidas was watching. He saw something. He's left the marks of his feet visible in many places on the ground. So what did Kalidas do? He went to all those footprints and smeared the dust all over his body. Then he hid in a place near Jadu Thakur's home. That's phase two of his plan. So Jadu Thakur returned home, not knowing, of course, that Kalidas is hiding nearby. So remember, Kalidas had given Jadu Thakur some nice mangoes. So Jadu Thakur saw the mangoes that Kalidas had given him. So he offered them to the deity. And then his wife took the mangoes and offered them to Jadu Thakur, who began to suck and eat them. So when he finished eating, he left the mango seeds on the banana leaf, and his wife, after making sure her husband was fed, she began to eat. Then when she was finished eating, she took the banana leaves that the mangoes were on, and, you know, there's just the seeds left, so this is refuse, she took it and threw it into a ditch outside the house where all the refuse was thrown. She didn't know Kalidas was waiting there. He grabbed the banana leaves with the mango seeds and skins and started licking them, overwhelmed with ecstatic love. So Kadaraj Goswami says, in this way, Kalidas ate the remnants of food left by all the Vaishnavas residing in Bengal. So when he visited Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya bestowed great mercy upon him. Lord Chaitanya would regularly visit, you know, the Jagannath Puri temple, and Govinda, his personal servant, would carry the water pot for Lord Chaitanya. So the way Lord Chaitanya would go into the temple, he would have to go up 22 steps. But at the bottom of those steps is a ditch, and there he would wash his feet in the ditch, and then he would enter the temple to see Lord Jagannath. And he ordered his servant Govinda, no one can ever take the water that's washed my feet. So once again, you see this paradox. that you want to serve Vaishnavas, but the Vaishnavas don't want you to serve them. So Lord Chaitanya ordered, no one gets the water that's washed my feet. So because of this strict order, no living being could take that water, but some of his intimate devotees would take it by some trick. And certainly there was none more expert than Kalidas in how to get this nectar. One day Lord Chaitanya was washing his feet in that ditch, and Kalidas came, held his palm out, got a scoop of water, drank it. Then he went for number two. And number three. At that point, Lord Chaitanya stopped him. He said, do not act in this way anymore. I have fulfilled your desire as far as possible. In other words, look, you got so much mercy, it's inconceivable. Why did Lord Chaitanya let this happen? It's not that actually Kalidas tricked him. It's Lord Chaitanya. It's that Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, knows this devotee has firm faith in the Vaishnavas. Therefore, I'm going to give him my mercy. That's what impressed Lord Chaitanya. Kalidas understands the nectar of serving devotees. As Kaviraj Goswami points out, because of this quality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu satisfies him with mercy not attainable by anyone else. So Lord Chaitanya would go to see Lord Nisringadev, and as he was doing that, he would recite the prayers we sing to Lord Nisringadev after Artik. Namaste Narasinghaya Prahladalada Dayane Haranyakashipur Vakshaha Shila Pankana Kalaye, so forth. So then, after offering obeisances to Lord Nisringadev, Lord Chaitanya would visit Lord Jagannath and then go home. So after he came out of the temple, after he went home, it's lunchtime, lunch prasad. Kalidas is waiting outside the door. He knows Lord Chaitanya will take lunch and then there'll be remnants. So Mahaprabhu knew this. He gave an indication to Govinda that, you know, yes, let Kalidas take what he likes. So Govinda understood the indications of Lord Chaitanya. So he immediately delivered the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's food to Kalidas. Because Kalidas was so expert in taking the remnants of food of the Vaishnavas, because he was so expert in serving devotees, Lord Chaitanya offered him his supreme mercy. So Kaviraj Goswami exhorts you, therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation, try to eat the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas, for thus you will be able to achieve your desired goal of life. The remnants of food offered to Lord Krishna are called Mahaprasad. After this same Mahaprasad has been taken by a devotee, the remnants are elevated to Mahaprasad. So there are three very powerful substances in life. The dust from the feet of a devotee, the water that's washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of prasad left by the devotee. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. Therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again, please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. So as I said, we don't expect devotees to go around trying to wash other devotees' feet and drink the water and stealing their prasad plate before they finish it. Rolling in the dust of their footprints. But there are so many ways we can serve devotees, which is the highest devotional service. Glorifying devotees, serving devotees, this is the actual ecstasy of bhakti. And it gives so much pleasure to Krishna. So as you become an older devotee, you become more and more expert at how to serve other devotees. truly to be an older devotee means you're the most clever at serving other devotees. Even if your service is giving initiation on behalf of the Siddha succession, you're actually simply doing a service. So, the more you become mature in bhakti, the more you understand serving others, that's all that's going on. Material life in its diseased situation means I want to be master. When I am the predominator, when I am the master, then there'll be peace. Spiritual life means I want to be the servant, then there'll be peace. And of course, last year or so, we spoke about bhakti bhava, the emotions of being Krishna's servant. So, let us try to apply that in our dealings with other devotees. How can we serve devotees? You don't have to just, you know, first analyze, well, are you a Mahabhagavat? Let's see. I don't know if I can serve you. It's true that taking the dust of the feet, taking the remnants, taking the water that's washed the feet, that's something done for very mature devotees. But there's so many other opportunities available to serve devotees. You can take the spirit of Kalidas and apply it to your practical situations. If you see a devotee who needs some assistance, that is your great fortune. Krishna is giving you an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. If there's a way that you can make a devotee's life in service easier, this is a golden opportunity for you. Let us take the spirit of what Kalidasa has done and apply it, and you'll see a big change. And that big change will become more and more visible, and people coming to Krishna consciousness, they'll be so impressed by the loving atmosphere, which is all based on service. Loving atmosphere doesn't mean, you know, you have a big hug session. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. At the end of so many New Age gatherings, you know, they have the group hug. Any of you went to seminars like that? Ashton taught me you did. How much did you pay for it?
$120?
That was a cheap one.
Yeah,
that was a bargain basement one. Any others? This was an expensive one? Huh? Ian, you didn't do any?
I took mine out of free.
Oh, you're free. Okay. All right. No one else? Haven't done any? Huh? Hey, Sue, you've done some in Korea? So the main thing at the end is the group hug. Did you want it yours? Of course, it's obligatory, isn't it?
And before
they
ate.
Huh?
And before they ate, they do like a prayer and a hug.
Prayer, what do they pray to? The powers of the universe?
Yeah.
Pray to the powers of the universe that have a group hug. It's a long one too, right? To get the maximum vibrations of the cosmos, right? So, that's not the way we show love in Krishna consciousness. Love is shown through service. So a devotee is very ingenious how I can serve another devotee. And sometimes you have to be very clever, because sometimes devotees are very expert in you not serving them. I think I wrote about it in my latest On the Way to Krishna experience I had at Govardhan with my godbrother Jayadvaita Swami. Of course, I've known him since 73. And actually, since 72, he was one of the ones I saw on television for the first time when I saw devotees. So it was the last day of Kartik, which is actually Rasa Purnima. At night is Krishna's Rasa Leela. So he has a tradition where every last day of Kartik, all his godbrothers that have gathered at Govardhan Ashram, he he sponsors a feast for all the devotees, young and old. Gorgeous feast. And he goes around and serves it personally himself. And then, after everyone's taken prasad, he goes to each of his godbrothers and he gives a card of appreciation with some gift inside. And, I forgot. Before they sit down for the feast prasad, he goes up to his godbrothers and he puts sandalwood pulp on their foreheads and decorates them with a garland. And then they have the feast, and after the feast, he gives them a card with a nice words on and with a gift inside. In mind, he wrote, thank you for being such a joyful friend for so many years. And
that was very nice.
So as I wrote in On the Way to Krishna, I became very envious about this.
Wow, this is really good.
And where is that? Yeah. And I told him, well, I'm really envious. You're up to something here. This is the happiness of devotee life, serving devotees. Now, there's no doubt we all have our practical service to do and our practical duties. Still, you'll always find your opportunities to serve other devotees outside the realm of your prescribed service, your prescribed duties. And you should always be happy for those opportunities. Your main service, that's your main obligation that has to be done. But while doing that main service, whatever it is, you'll always see opportunities to assist other devotees. And Krishna will give you the intelligence how to do it without being obtrusive. It's not like you go up and some Prabhu, I want to serve you. No devotee will agree to that. Get out of here. Because a devotee, by definition, is not eager at all to take service from another devotee. So, but there are ways you can do it. And don't think you have to. The only way you can serve a devotee is if you announce to their face, guess what, I'm going to serve you. No, that's not the way it works. They don't have to know. You see, you may be thinking that in order to get reciprocation, the other person has to know you're serving them. No, Krishna is watching. And actually, it's amazing how sooner or later, even if someone doesn't know, they always find out, and they're so appreciative. And what it does is it causes them to want to serve others. It gets contagious. Wow. This service to devotees is very nice. Yeah, I ought to do the same thing. And then someone else gets inspired by that. Wow, this really looks really good. I ought to do that. And soon everybody's thinking, yeah, we all want to serve devotees. It's especially nice to serve a devotee who you've had a bit of a tiff with. That's a special flavor to that. Because in material life, when you have a tiff with somebody, you don't want to see them. You just stay out of my way, I'll stay out of yours. You stay on your side of the temple, I'll stay on my side of the temple. But in spiritual life, it's very interesting to serve those who you've had a tiff with, and it does make a difference. It's not that things are resolved immediately overnight like that. You know, everyone starts to hug and jai Prabhu. It's not sentimental like that. But definitely over some time, you'll see a shift in consciousness. Over some time. We're so impatient, you know. If everything is not instant, we just, you know, can't handle it. I can't believe it. You know. It's not happening. It's been 12 hours yet. I don't see a major shift. The principle is to render service to devotees. How to do that is an art. Yes, you have to be practical about maintaining Krishna's interests, pushing on Krishna's interests. It's not that you try to serve everyone and forget about serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. That's pure sentiment. You have to protect Srila Prabhupada's mission while serving devotees at the same time. After all, you can't forget about serving the number one devotee. Go on serving everybody else. That's not the point. Now, there's an art. It's not something that can be discussed empirically or, you know, cut and dry. Just like Mother Yashoda, she was boiling milk on the stove for Krishna, but then Krishna wanted to be nursed. So she began nursing Krishna. Then she noticed the milk on the stove was boiling over. She put Krishna down to tend to the milk on the stove. So everything in her house is for Krishna. How does she know what to do next? Should she put Krishna down and get the milk? Or should she keep Krishna on her lap and let the milk boil over? This intelligence is given by Krishna once you begin. In seriousness, bhakti yoga, Krishna begins to guide you. So, from the material point of view, it looks bewildering. How do you do all these things? I mean, sometimes there seem to be contradictions. Especially managers have this contradiction all the time. That management means you've got to make decisions, and it means not everybody's going to appreciate your decisions. At the same time, you have a responsibility. So how do you draw the line? Well, at the same time, serving devotees. So it's an art that is learned over the years. But if you keep at it, the art becomes more and more ecstatic. So let us always remember that Tandara chamese bhakti sanivas, bhakta sanivas, janame janame hoa eyabhilas. Birth after birth, my aspiration is to remain in the society of devotees and render service to their feet. Birth after birth, that is my pleasure. Huh? Any questions? Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered when taking Mahavishatam and taking the remnants from the devotees, is there more spiritual substance the more that you take, or is it just the quality of
the... It is not the quantity. It's the quality of your consciousness. Reminds me, when I was in Kazakhstan, where my godbrother B.B. Govinda Maharaj has his headquarters. He's an expert cook. Besides being an expert kirtan man, he's an expert cook. And he personally trained up all the cooks there how to cook all the preparations that Srimati Radharani specializes in offering to Krishna. So I remember I was sitting at the lunch table with Govinda Maharaj and Niranjan Maharaj. And we finished the meal, and so I just nonchalantly took a small sweet, put it in my mouth, and then I went on talking. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I was like hit with something. And like for 4 hours, I practically couldn't tell whether I was on water or dry land or where I was. I started wandering all over the place, like, where am I? That's the power of very devotional prasad. It's not the quantity. Yeah, Govinda Maharaj was watching me. You know, I just took a little sweet, that's all. Said, take one, okay, they're small, I'll take one. I took one, and we went on talking about something. And all of a sudden, he saw me. And then for the next 4 hours, I was just walking all over the place. I just didn't know where I was, what was going on. That's the power of prasad. Offered with love and devotion. So it's not the quantity. Doesn't mean you can't take, you know, what you need, but it's not dependent on the quantity. Qualitative. Everything in Krishna consciousness is qualitative. Anything else? Yes?
You're saying you want to serve all the devotees. Is there a difference between how serving a junior or serving a senior would manifest?
Yes, you have to discriminate, otherwise you're an impersonalist. You don't serve in the same way, but you serve everyone. Everyone is always serving. In any capacity in Krishna consciousness, you are serving. In any capacity in the material world, you are serving. You saw the pictures of material servants, not very enlivening. All devotees are serving. No matter what position you're in, you have to remember, I am the servant of the devotees. Whether you're a manager, you're initiating, whatever you're doing, you're simply the humble servant of the devotees. So that service manifests in different ways according to who you're dealing with, but still it's service. It may be your service to correct. That's a tough service, isn't it? Like Archer Yuga, he came and made a big presentation of very nice ideas for renovating for a yoga center in Wellington. So I was training him up for when he would make these graphic arts presentations in the business world. So he had to kind of get through me with all his plans. So by the time he finished, he was like, yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea, but it costs too much. Can you alter that a bit? And we went down the whole list. But you know, and being an artistic person, that means artists really like their ideas. You know, their artistic visions are the essence of life. You know, it's got to be done. I kept asking, what will be the practical preaching effect if we spend this money? Well, just. I know that if you just make things a certain way, it's just nice, and that's just the way it is. I said, fine, great, but... I said, look, if we have the money, we do all of your ideas, but let's pick the ones that have an immediate practical effect. And he kind of looked at me like, I don't know if you understand. You just do art in an artistic way, and then, you know, it just happens, you know? That's the whole point, you know? You just create nicely, and then everything is nice. I kept saying, okay, that's all well and good, but what is the practical effect in terms of increasing the number of people? So I pushed him like that for a couple of hours, so finally we got a finished list, and then when it was all over, he just... It was quite an ordeal for him. So I explained to him, I'm training him up for his, you know, his dealing in the business world, because if you're working a job as a graphic arts designer, you just can't walk into your employer's office, hey, I got a great idea, do it. And I put you through this even much more intensely than what I did. And of course, we're overseeing things for Krishna's pleasure, so we have to make sure that things go on in a practical way. So that's service. That is a service. I thought it might look like I was giving him a hard time. Actually, I was rendering him service. Anything else? Yes.
Pushing on the mission, and also on the other side, dealing with devotees at the same time.
No, what I meant was, it's an art for being attentive to your particular service while at the same time looking for opportunities outside of the particular realm of your service for helping other devotees. You can't, shall we say, take your eye off the eight ball of your service at the same time. There always are opportunities to assist other devotees if you're looking for that, while pushing on your particular duties. Your duties have to be done. Just like as a householder, you just can't neglect your home life and say, oh, there's a chance to serve devotees over here, over there. You've got to do your duties. And while doing your duties, which you are directly responsible for, you seek out other opportunities. So yes, it is an art how to do all that at once. Your own prescribed duties, while at the same time, you know, a bit of creativity is always there in every devotee's life. It's amazing. So I hope that explains better. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Kind of practical question. That's a common guess with you, other devotees for Sarvam. So, it's a kind of a common guess to steal other devotees for Sarvam.
Is it a common what?
Like,
really?
Yeah. And so.
Is that what you guys do?
Hmm?
Did you do that when you had one of your big days on Sankirtan? You go steal other devotees for that? That's where you get your power from, huh?
What does it mean?
How many Bhagavad Gita's did you distribute the last day? 13 hardcover Bhagavad Gita's? Very nice.
But what does it mean? Like, if you have different words, so, like, some people say you get the good karma from the other devotees, others say the devotees who see the Vaishnava from get your karma, what?
You have to be qualified to give that mercy. So, it's recommended you finish all the prasad that's on your plate. And let the other person finish all the prasad in their plate. Then when you become a much more mature devotee. In the beginning, in the early days in ISKCON, I remember 73, we didn't know any better. We just read, you know, that prasad is transcendental. So after the Sunday feast and all the guests left, you know, the guests leave, you know, their plates half eaten. We just thought the way you do it is you gather up all those plates, you merge them in one bucket, and they serve them out the next morning to the devotees. That was his karma-wide practice. Prasad, you know, transcendental. You can't throw it away, you know. So you know how the guests take prasad. They don't know to finish prasad, to honor it properly. So after they left, you know, someone would come along and, you know, 100, you know, 200 plates, half eaten, you know, just merge it all into a, you know, a big barrel. Next morning for breakfast, serve it out to the devotees. Prabhupada stopped there. But yes, you have to have some common sense, some intelligence. Anything else? Yes.
How can you be having a humble, serving attitude by discerning
Upanishad? You read in Nectar Instruction, Upanishamrita? You offer respects to any devotee who has, any initiated devotee, whether the behavior is up to the standard or not, you at least offer respect. And then, if the devotee is in good standing, naturally, if you're a young devotee, and that devotee is setting a good example, you want to learn something from that devotee. How it is that you are going on in Krishna consciousness. So you have to discriminate. Otherwise it's impersonalism. It's true, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, all the devotees look shining, right? You saw that when they're all looking effulgent. You thought each one was like, you know, a demigod. Yeah. Then after you're around for a while, you realize, look at that guy. You did this to me. You did that to me. I know you don't do that. So, yes, you have to discriminate. You just don't take advice from everyone. You may appreciate everyone and respect everyone, but you don't take advice from everyone. You have to know what standard they're on in their spiritual life. That's not such a hard thing to tell. You don't have to sneak up to their window at night and see if there's, you know, Rasa Leela going on in their room or something. There are easy symptoms. Do they follow the regular principle? Are they chanting the holy name properly? Do they have a non-offensive attitude? These things are very easy to see, yes? Whether someone's an old devotee or a young devotee, they have to be doing these things. Otherwise, you simply respect them, but you don't take advice. That's discrimination. Who is it? There's one character. I think he was famous in Christchurch too. He used to come to Wellington and announce that he's the older devotee. And I don't think we haven't seen him around for a while. I'm the older devotee. You have to do whatever I say. And usually, doing what he said meant, you know, sooner or later you wanted to steal your wife. I'm the older devotee. So, we don't want to get in ridiculous situations like that. But nor do we want to go the other extreme and disrespect older devotees. Actually, even if they're not following the standard, still you can respect them for what they did in the past. That's very important. You have to know the difference between offering respect and taking advice. You take advice from those who are properly situated. You offer respects to everyone. You understand? Okay. Is it that time? All right. So, once again, we thank our transcendental construction devotees, Zayavir and Bhakta Andy, for their skilled efforts. Who else was involved here?
Quite a few devotees.
Like?
I will approach.
Oh, really? What is it? Oh, ladies who paint. That's very nice. Oh, you are the designer. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? What did he do? The lighting is very nice. Okay, now it's time for a light feast or a heavy feast.
A heavy feast.
Remember, it's the quality, not the quantity. Right, Maharaj, yeah. All right, Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Right, 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 right